response today. I believe this was today. I'm doing great. My back has been healed. Love the service. God is awesome. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Don't get too familiar with people getting healed in our service. Amen. In the congregation. Don't get too familiar with that. Like, oh yeah, here we go again. No. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Father, for healing. May it encourage others to believe for their healing. Whether it be live stream or here in the house, that they understand. Here's another praise report. Sister Tracy's aunt, Joyce, was experiencing confusion and was not able to recognize family members. She was transferred to ICU and was treated for meningitis. And many of you received the prayer request, if not all of you received the prayer request, to come into agreement. And we thank you for that. Without confirming what she had, a prayer request was sent out to TFT. No more than 24 hours later, Joyce was awake, remembered her name, and recognized her family. They confirmed later that she did have meningitis and explained that if she did not come in when she did, it could have been quite serious. Come on and give Jesus a big hand of praise. Jesus is the healer. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time, and I'm going to praise his name. Yeah, it's not just a song. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Our God is a healer. Praise God. And we thank him. We thank him. We do thank him. We do thank him. Praise God. Here is another praise report. This is from Brother Sean. We prayed for my brother's dad, Dwayne. And the report is, he's out of the mental institution and doing better. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, Feast of Sukkot. So, Father, we thank you. We do truly thank you because you're doing wonderful things. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. Hallelujah. And may we truly be forever grateful and give you the glory and honor that your name deserves, you deserve. Hallelujah. May it spread abroad what you're doing, what you're doing, what you are doing, what you are doing in this house so that others may hear and have faith to come. If they can't get it where they are, at least let them come and receive of the healing virtue and touch for your great name's sake, for your glory and honor and praise. Amen. Everybody say multiplication. Multiplication. Let it come. Let there be increase. Let there be increase. This coming Friday, September the 28th, Yahweh at 7:30. Prayer begins at 7 p.m. Looking forward to an awesome, glorious time. Everybody is welcome. Doors will open at 7 o'clock. And you can come on in and get a seat or stand up and pray and seek the face of God till 7:30, and then we'll begin to have a radical time in the Lord. Amen. Saturday, September the 29th, E-Team is going back out to the streets, 10:30 a.m. Amen. Praise God. I thought I saw Brother Kwame. So there he is over there. People move around. Isn't the brain is just something else. It's one of the most remarkable things we have in our body. They say the brain is a muscle. I don't know. I know it's got some power in it. But I can just look, and you can do the same thing, too. And, like, photogenically, it just imprints on your mind. And so you could see somebody like Brother Pete sitting there in the back, and if, you know, 5 minutes from now I looked over there and I didn't see, well, Brother Pete was here, where did he go to? And then I have to look at some other station, which is what I just, were you over there at one time? You were over there, see, the brain. It's a wonderful thing, yeah. Use that in memorizing God's scripture. Look, isn't that yeah, amen. Make it work for you, for the glory of God. Don't let it sit there because it'll just age. Age and do nothing. You know, I'm trying to get Minister Killings to patent his brain. I'm just having fun with him. But, you know, you ever get into a discussion with him, especially when he can deal with the word. So I'm not overlooking that, not overshadowing that. He knows the word, and I mean, he can preach the word and all. But just to engage in a conversation with the politics and all and the things that go on, I mean, his brain is just, he just knows about just everything that they're dealing with in the political arena, whether it's state, local, federal. He's like up to date on it. He's up there. He's there where he needs to be. And that's an awesome thing. And so they're in formation of a revision of things that God had birthed a while back, but now he's taking it in a different direction. And many of you will be informed in the days to come, but it's going to be something that's powerful for the body of Christ if we would simply just, you know, flow with it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no people, the vision can perish. And so when the vision is cast, it's made simple so that whoever reads it can run with it. It's just like the gospel of the church. It's really God's method of getting the gospel out to the world. But just talking to him about things is just praise God. It's like, just get your brain and just put it in people's head and all in. Everybody be informed and up to date on things and be able to operate and navigate even through that political arena. Don't be afraid of the political arena. Don't think that we don't have no place in there. Our daddy created government. Hallelujah. Government is patterned after God's directives, God's vision, if you will. So we got a right to enter into that arena. Yeah. And we never let it supplant God. It's under God. Yeah, God is government. Hallelujah. So he's not a tyrant, but he is God. Theocratic. Nobody's above him. He's first and foremost. And he tells us how to live. We don't tell him. Hallelujah. He created us. We didn't create him. Some people create a God. And that's the God that they serve and worship. Their God lets them do anything and everything. But that's not the one true and living God. So, anyways, he may be, you know, talking to you in the near future. And he's going to be up for re-election in 2020. And so this is not all a political, endorsement and things like that. But these things are coming around the corner, and we need righteous people in power. We need righteous people in government. We do, saints. We do. Let's stop pulling away from stuff. You know, we have our fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We're working out our salvation now with fear. Now, this is the path of the righteous. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are working out what God is working in. It is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? And so it's like God is in us, and we are exhibiting the character and nature of God. We don't just stop at the point of believing God for salvation. Peter goes on to say, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge dot, 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 temperance, self-control, and all of that. And so we continue to grow and to mature in our walk in God, and then we take that into every arena. Explain to me what I just said. Somebody, anybody, everybody. Take it everywhere we go. What do we take everywhere we go? Okay, that's what you got. Okay. Anybody else get something else? I'm not saying that that's wrong. Nobody else got anything else. Okay, this is what I said. And I want to make sure you understand what I said. Peter said, add to your and to, and then dot, dot, dot. Okay. So it's not just a word that is just that we just repeat. You understand? It's not just something we just repeat. Like, okay, Peter said this, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge, you know. And so it's not something that we repeat. It's something that we actually do. We add to our faith. We believe that we're saved. Okay, now let's add something to our lives. Let's add something to our faith and what we believe, and that's virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. Not that we say moral excellence, but that we actually experience and exhibit. We characterize moral excellence. We work out what God is working in. We live it out, okay? Amen? And to summarize it, it's we become the living epistle. We become the word in flesh, the word incarnate, if you will, the word in action. It's not so much taking the letter, it's the word having transformed our lives. And as the power of God, you understand where I'm saying? As the power of God is continually transforming, changing us from the inside out, we take that into every arena. So, yeah, we take the word, but I want to make sure you understand what it is that we're taking. We're not talking about taking our Bible. Yes, we can carry our Bible physically, but it's the word made flesh, or it's the word incarnate. It's the word alive in us, our lives reflecting the word, and that's what we take into these different arenas that we are in. We take it on our job. We take it in the marketplace. We take it in our homes. We take it everywhere we go. When I say we take it, I'm saying we live it. In every place that we go into, we take it to school because it's our life. Remember, I said Sunday, and I don't know if you got it, but I don't want to be repetitive, but still, it's like God is not someone that we test to see if he works or, I'll just try it out. He's not something you just try. He's something you live. You know, he's God in you, personal. It's like, I'll give this a try because I tried everything else. I might as well try. No. That's a wrong approach. You're not going to some other, like some other option in life, if you will. You're going to the author of life. Yeah. You're coming to somebody that's going to tell you how to live, somebody that's going to clean you up, somebody that's going to change and transform you. You're not coming to somebody that you just have all these options. Well, I'll take this and I'll leave that and I'll take this. It's like, no, whatever he's given you, you take it all and you apply it. I don't believe that's of God. Well, look in his word. If his word says it's there and it's for us, then take it. Receive it. Don't let your background, the way I was raised, it don't matter how you were raised. This is how you're being raised up now in the fear and admonition of God. I hope you're understanding me. So he's not somebody you just try. Jesus says, he says, why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? Now, does that sound like somebody you just try out? I'm going to try you, Jesus. You're going to try me? I made you. I'm just looking over here at the ground so nobody thinks I'm talking to them personally. I made you. You know, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. You believe in me. I'm dealing with life. I'm not dealing with just trying to make you have a good day or, take you out of a bad day. I'm not just trying to make life more suitable or pleasant for you. I am life. Hallelujah. I'm imparting to you how to live. I'm not giving you suggestions and things. I'm commanding you. This is what you do as sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is how you live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. You don't live on an earthly plane or earthly level anymore. You don't live by the traditions of men or the traditions of family, if you will. And I'm not against family, but you don't live by that any longer. You used to live by that, yeah. Great-granddad did it. Great-great-great-granddad did it. Granddad did it. Dad did it, so I do it. It's like I break that curse. It goes now, the Father did it, Jesus did it, I do it. Yeah. We have a new connection. Our life is no longer based on the natural. We don't forget about the natural. That's where we came from. We reached the natural to bring the natural into the kingdom. But when we come into the kingdom, it's no longer natural. It's now spiritual. Natural is on a lower level of life. Spiritual is on a higher level of life. Natural is earthly. Spiritual is heavenly. God wants us to live heavenly. So when I say we're risen with Christ and seated in heavenly places, he's expecting us to live on a heavenly level. Amen. And so it's like, well, I do that, but I won't do that. And it's like, well, if you don't do this, you're going to be stuck in that. And if that was so pleasing, why did you even try and come up to this? Okay. Sorry. For what? For wanting more for each and everybody that's in this tabernacle. For wanting increase and not decrease. For wanting the best and not the less, if you will. No, come on. Come on. No. The weak and beggarly days are over. Yeah. Yeah. Stop settling for what's worldly and ungodly. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. So, with that being said, we received the offering, and I'm almost out of time, but I do want to do this. If you just give me just a couple of minutes, I had it here. There it is. There was a question, unanswered questions. Ah, this is a different question. This is different than the other one that I talked about, because the other one question dealt with communication and what happens when, you know, you stop communicating in your marriage, and so I kind of went into that. And then there's another question that came, and it's like, maybe I misunderstood the question, but this one is totally different. This one says, when you've been in separation for years, what should be done to resolve it? Okay, that's a good question. Everybody agree? Hallelujah. When you've been in separation for years, what should be done to resolve it? Well, if reconciliation is not possible because of whatever the case may be, and with every marriage is different. No marriage alters God's design for it or purpose in it or God's view towards it. In other words, God honors marriage. We know that from what the writer says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Marriage is honorable, and the bed is not defiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay, so fornicators, adulterers, and that, you know, fornication, that deals, that the Greek word is pornos. So anything that deals with pornography, you know, that's an abomination in God's eyesight. It also deals with perversion, sexual perversion of anything that's contrary and just contradicts God's vision, purpose, and his design for marriage. So all of that will be judged by God. But marriage is honorable, meaning God esteems it highly. And the scripture says that God hates divorce. I believe it's over in Malachi chapter 2, where God hates divorce. And so the thing of it is that we still have to keep that in perspective, even though we go through things in life. And divorce happens. You know, if divorce is real, it was real in Jesus' day. It was real before Jesus' day. It was real in Moses' day. And Moses, he said, because of the hardening of your heart, that's what Jesus said about the reason Moses gave the decree of divorce. He says, because of the hardening of your heart, that's why Moses gave that decree of divorce. But divorce had become so common from what theologians have said back in that day that a man would go out in the field to do his work and the wife would be at home. And if the man didn't want her anymore, he'd just come in with a decree and say, here, go back to your parents. And she'd have to leave. And so that became so common that people just did that on a regular basis, if you will. And so God revealed his perspective, or I should say his attitude towards that, when it came to Malachi, who prophesied, and then there was like 400 years of silence after that. And God says, I hate divorce. And God says, I brought the two together because I'm seeking a godly offspring. You understand what that means? Godly offspring. Apples beget apples, pears beget pears, oranges beget oranges, holy people beget holy children. Or godly people beget godly children. That's God's pattern for things. And so God said, I'm seeking godly offspring out of that relationship. He ordained his soul. Jesus said God never intended for divorce. He made the two one. With God, therefore, put it together. Let no man put asunder. So we need to understand God's perspective on marriage and on divorce, and he hates divorce. But the thing of it is, and by the grace of God, and I don't say that just to make myself feel good because of what I've been through, but I speak the truth. God told me, he says, I love you more than I hate divorce. And not everyone is not every divorce is the same. Even though God hates it, because you don't know all of the details of what goes on. And some people will go out there and tell everybody all the business just to make themselves look good and the other person look bad. And just because somebody doesn't go out there and defend themselves, don't think that it's all what that person says. Because some people have that spirit of conviction and would rather keep it silent rather than publicize a whole lot of junk. Amen? And so with that being said, having the understanding, if you cannot reconcile, because that's the first thing, you ought to especially if we're talking about believers, husband and wife, you ought to do everything within your power to make it work. And then after you've done that, if you cannot reconcile, then part your ways. And especially if one is already in the act of adultery. With adultery, is no problem. It's like, you know, free, separate, if you will. But if you can reconcile, reconcile. If you can't, then go part your ways. Because if you've been separated, it's basically the same thing anyways. But if the other one has gone on into a relationship, cut the thing off. Let them go because that's what they want to do. The Bible says a brother or sister is free in that regards. Now, we don't advocate divorce. We don't advocate it in the sense of, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not. It's a serious thing. And you have to bear the burden of that walking through it. Even when it's still in the minds of others, and God has already set you free, but it's still in the minds of others, you still have to bear that. And so those are the things that you have to be willing to deal with. You have to deal with the minds of religious people who will never forget and will never forgive. And if they don't understand, this is major in the body of Christ. Jude says it best. We speak evil of the things that we don't know. When we don't know, we start to speak evil concerning that. In other words, because there were so many people that, must have been. And it's like, think what you want to think. Praise God. I have to live before God. He's the one who will judge me. Hallelujah. And as long as I have peace with him, I could care less about the war with anybody else. You understand that? So in that, with that mindset, whoever the person is, if you cannot reconcile, then go your separate ways. Yeah, you know, and I'm not advocating divorce, but it's like you obviously feel weighted down. You obviously feel like it's not going to go anywhere, and you're in bondage because of that, and you're probably in bondage because of what other people think as well. But be free. Be free, because if you can't reconcile, yeah. And especially if the other one is doing their own thing anyways. So when you've been in separation for years, what should be done to resolve it? You can, if you have the grace of God to do so and God tells you to. You can wait and you can pray. And you can believe God or hope that God will reconcile. But if you're at that place where you don't want to wait any longer, be at peace. There's other things to do, but I'll cover that later for sake of time. Amen? By that, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul lays out some things there as well. There's one sister who years ago was dealing with this same thing. And they were in their hearts, it's like, what was the right thing for them to do? And it was like, well, you can do what the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You can depart and you can remain single, or you can be reconciled. And so anyways, that's my response for that one. And if there's further clarity necessary, whoever the person is, don't hesitate to call or to ask. This person wrote their name. Did I cover this one? How can I be okay with my faith if I divorce my husband? Did I read that one? Okay, these are good questions. Obviously, some married people are really having some problems. And marriage is a wonderful thing. How can I be okay with my faith if I divorce my husband? Well, if your faith is in your faith, then that's an awkward place to be. If your faith is in God, then you have to look at your relationship with God. And you have to look at your reasonings for considering divorce from your husband. Why do you want to divorce him? Or if you're asking how can you be okay with him, obviously you're thinking about divorcing him. If you think that you can be, and I don't want to get confusing, if you're thinking about divorce, and you want to know how can you be okay with your faith, or if it's one of those sarcastic type of things where you're asking a question that you really are saying something other than what's being written. Everybody understand that? You're not just saying you understand that. Okay, because if you don't understand that, then I'll try and explain it further. In other words, if a person's being sarcastic and saying, how can I be okay with my faith if I divorce my husband, you're asking that because of somebody else and not because of you personally. You're thinking about somebody else being okay, and then you're putting yourself in there. But a person has to come to grips with, why do you want a divorce? And again, it goes back to what I said earlier, understanding God's will, understanding God's word, understanding God's stand about divorce. He hates it. And if you want to break God's heart, you do that. If you want to please God, you try and work it out. But you'll be okay in your faith if you go through it, because God loves you more than he hates divorce. Divorce is a very painful thing. It's something that nobody really, you don't wish it upon anybody. But it happens, and you continue to live through. Who was here on Sunday? Okay, one of the things I was preaching on was about not only not testing God, but just being all into God. That's what I'm saying. All into him and him all into you. God does not abandon you because of difficulty. So I use the illustration of death, and I use some very sensitive areas of death, especially dealing with Minister Denise and then dealing with Minister Kino and Sister Kianani, because they experienced death. There was also Brother Kwame who mentioned on Monday that he thought about he and his brother Deontay when their dad passed away, went on to be with the Lord. God does not leave you in death when you're going through a difficulty. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't forsake you. It could be death. It could be a firing from a job, if you will. It could be, you know, a breakup, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend type thing. You thought he was the one. He thought you were the one or something like that. And it breaks off. And God will also be with you through divorce. Hallelujah. Living testimony. He will not only be with you, he will guide and he will comfort you. He will help you in any given situation. Am I saying God works against his will? No, I am not. But God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So he will be with you even in that. If you will look to him, you will find him, and he'll be with you to navigate you through, to carry you through. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because these are some pretty serious things here, the questions concerning divorce. But God will be with you, and that's the comfort, and that's the being okay. Because if you say, well, now that I'm divorced, I lost my salvation. No, you didn't lose your salvation. Your salvation is not that cheap. You're still saved. If you continue on in your walking relationship with God, if you abandon God and go to the ways of the world, you know, I believe you can walk away from your salvation. I don't think it's easy to do, but I believe you can walk away. I don't believe in that once saved, always saved, unless you're going to live the saved life. Yeah. But if you go back into the ways of the world and you die in your sin, you're going to perish, because you can't say, well, Jesus, you know, Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father, if you will. So I'm saying that to say, if you are still with God, he will still be with you. He's not going to abandon you. This is how you can get through it. This is why people, you know, some people you would never know what happened to them that have a true, genuine relationship with God. When they go through the fire, they go through the flood, they go through the furnace, they go through difficult situations, and they come out and they're smelling like a rose. They're not smelling sour, they're not bitter, they're not, you know, wiped out, if you will, but they're standing on their own two feet, having come through some of the worst things in their lives. You know, you deal with the loss of a loved one and you're in God. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody, but even in my speaking, and this is one of the things that I was trying to get to as well, truth sets you free. It may seem hard, but it's not being hard. Truth sets you free so that you can continue to live. I don't know exactly why, only except that I believe my steps were being ordered of the Lord to get to him. But why at the age of 21, I'm sitting there probably on the second or third row of the funeral home. I don't think it was on the front row. I'm sitting next to my stepmother. I'm looking at my dad in the coffin. He got on that green suit, white shirt, and a green casket that I picked out for him. When I saw that green casket, I said, that's the one for dad. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Anyways, but I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and my heart is hurting because my dad and I had a good relationship with each other. And I'm sitting there, my heart is hurting, but I hear his voice, and I know that it's not him. We don't communicate with the dead. I didn't understand it at that time, but I heard it clearly from him. You got to go on. You got to go on. You got to live. You got to keep going. I heard that, and it's like, okay, okay. You can't die. Now, I'm not in God. I'm on my way, but I'm not there. That's July 3rd, 1980. I'm on my way, but I'm not there. I didn't come to Jesus until February 26, 1984. That was almost four years later, coming to Jesus. But I heard, you got to go on. You got to live. And I'm hearing the voice, and I'm looking at him in the casket. So God gets you through the difficulty, whatever it is. He gets you through death. He gets you through divorce. He gets you through a firing. You come to the job, you're expecting to work, you're expecting to get paid and all, and then all of a sudden they come with a pink slip, or they call you down to the office and they tell you, we're going to have to let you go. God doesn't let you go. He picks you up and he says, it's time for a new chapter. Let's turn the page. So that we're not bitter over what happened, but we're excited about what's about to happen. And we work our faith. So how can I be okay with my faith if I divorce? It's like, how can you not be okay if you're still in God? Because he doesn't abandon you. I'm not making an excuse for it, but I'm trying to help you understand. You will get through that. Now, I don't have to write no book about a purpose-driven life and tell you, well, you know, God knew all of this was going to happen. And yeah, he knew all of these things was going to happen. And now God wants to use it for you because he's going to use you to minister. Not necessarily. It doesn't mean that God, now God's going to give Pastor Lucia and I a ministry to married people or to those who have been through divorce and just to be able to. No, we have to be ministers of the gospel, whatever this situation or case may be. Because God works in all situations. He's there to rescue us and to save us. And our salvation is more than just getting to heaven. That's the end. We have our fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. But daily living, daily being rescued, daily being saved. Am I making any sense to it? Y'all ready to go home? I know you're ready to go home and I get fired. The reason, because that's sensitive, because having walked through it, you know, and some people just never forget it. And it's not so much that you forget, you just move on. But some can't move on. They stay right back there. I remember when, and it should have went like this. And it's like, no, it didn't go like that. And neither did everything in your life go like you thought it was going to go. But God is the potter. We're the clay. We acknowledge our sins. We acknowledge our transgressions. And we get up because he cleanses us. And we move on in life. So how can you not be okay with your faith? Your faith doesn't tell you to divorce, but your faith won't abandon you because you divorce. You ought to be believing God and trusting God still, irregardless. Because if your faith depends on everything that happens in life, then you're going to live a jacked up life in God. Your faith depends solely upon God. Faith in God. Faith in his word that he will take you, he'll bring you through, he'll bring you over, he will cause you to be triumphant, he will bless you even when all curse you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not the end. You can think of some situations that you've been through. It's not the end. Your faith doesn't take off and run out the door because of something that happens, you know. We were informed and we sent out a prayer request about a couple that, you know, domestic violence and all and stuff like that. And it's like, one of the sisters who called me up, she shared with me the advice she gave to one of the individuals. And she's like, Apostle, just imagine what would have happened if he would have did what I told him. I told him to go into his prayer closet and talk to God about it. But he didn't do that. He went and did something else. What was she doing? She's trying to point him to faith, faith in God. Man, let God work this out. Tell him and let him work this out. He didn't do that. Faith didn't go out the door. Faith was knocking. So when I said on Sunday about, you know, some of us are just one crisis away from collapse, it's because we're not as strong as we think we are or even trying to project one little thing and, you know, and it's like, hey, come on. This stuff helps your roots to sink down stronger on the rock. I can't go any further. I will hurt myself. Hey, brothers. Oh, praise God. No, this helps your roots to go down. How are you going to know how awesome your God is? It was a woman who was a prostitute selling her body that proved to be a greater worshiper than one who was a Pharisee. The Pharisee, either he had been healed of leprosy or had leprosy, but he was able to become a Pharisee. He's looking at Jesus. If he knew what manner of woman this was, if he were truly a prophet, and he knew what manner of woman this was, that was doing this to him. Excuse me. It's like he put her away. And so Jesus has to speak to him. And he's like, she's been forgiven of much. Therefore, she loves much. I can't say the same thing about you. You know, you understand? Because God doesn't abandon us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the only reason I can stand before you. And I don't say this like, you know, men, Pastor Lucia on the rocks. We love each other so much. It's not an idol, but we do. We value each other, and we esteem each other's gifts. Because, man, when we're operating in our lane, It's like, whoo, praise God. So, anyways, I lost train of thought. I'm going to stop what I did. I lost train of thought in that. But no, we don't. We do. We value and esteem each other. So when I say something like this, if Pastor Lucia was to leave me, not saying that she is or she will, but if she was to leave me, I would be okay. I would be okay. Because my roots and my faith is not in her. It's in the God that is in her, but it's not in her. You understand that? And I can say it because I had to walk through that before. And you're talking to me, talking about being a pastor over people and have to deal with something like that? That's difficult, you know? And so the thing of it is you will get through if you stay in faith in God, and you'll be okay. As a matter of fact, you'll be more appreciative of the grace of God because we love him so much now, and the way he's blessing, it's like, oh, praise God. Yeah, that's why you don't give up in the midst or the heat of the battle. You don't give up, and no matter how bad it's getting for you, you just never give up. That's something my grandmother sold into me before she left this earth, and she only had to say it a few times. If you're called, you'll stand. You know, and it's like, yeah, praise God. I'm still standing. That, I think Israel wrote a song like that. Okay. What wise advice can you give when God has made a promise regarding a purpose, but the people he has called to partner with you in that purpose are in opposition to God's processes? We got to come to that next week. I hope you don't mind. We got through what, two questions? Yes, okay. And I pray that those answers were sufficient. If there's more that needs to be done, yeah. But again, we don't advocate anything that's against God's will. We just know that God loves us and he won't abandon us in our failures. But we got two more questions to do. And if you have other questions, go ahead and write them down. We just don't want to spend the rest of 2018. You know, we want you to be okay. Praise God. We want everybody to be okay. But this was good. It was it's different, and it's a blessing. All right. Stand to your feet. Thank you for your patience. It's 9 o'clock almost, 4 more minutes before it. I'll let you get out before 9 o'clock. Father, thank you. Watch over your people, your sons and your daughters. Thank you for the offerings that the people have given. We hold them up before you, and we bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. We pray that you'll see everyone safely to their destination so that no evil befalls them, no plague come near them, no hurt, harm, or danger comes their way. We pray that you will bless them, keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. May your name be over them and their household, that you may bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land that are living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. Bless now, Lord God. And what you bless, no one can curse. It is an irreversible blessing, a favor, all the days of their life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you. Give God glory. You got out 3 minutes early.